ladies and gentlemen. Okay, so are you a fan of this show? I probably am going to guess that you are because you're listening to this. I am doing a live show in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania on November 18th. That's a Saturday. During the day, I'm going to be at PAX Unplugged talking about the card games. And then at night, I'm going to be at Shot Tower Coffee, 7 p.m. That is at 542 Christian Street on Saturday, November 18th. It's a politics show technically, but we're going to do a bunch of stuff. If you like Jury or you like politics, I am begging you personally to come out. I have no idea who's going to show up here. No price at the door, but we're going to do a suggested donation just because I got to pay for the place. So, again, November 18th, Shot Tower Coffee, 542 Christian Street, politics, live show. It's me, Justin. I'm going to be in Philadelphia. Hey, born and raised in the playground. Please show up. I'm so worried.
Hey, guys, it's me, Kylo Ren. I'm in the Star Wars movies. If you like this podcast, then please go ahead and support it at patreon.com/JURY. It makes sure that Justin is able to do this for a living. I don't need Patreon as Kylo Ren because I'm in the Star Wars movies. I'm very famous. Anyway, see you later.
Welcome, everybody, to the Justin Robert Young live show. A lot of stuff going on, including me forgetting to turn off the sound alerts on the computer. Okay, so here is the deal. I am going to be traveling again. I can't believe I'm back on the road. I honestly feel like I'm back at the Go Game where I'm literally traveling every single week, and it's not going to end because we've got more traveling. As I mentioned up top, I'm going to be in Philadelphia in 2 weeks. What that commercial or that billboard that I did does not fill in is that unlike when I was on the road professionally, I don't know how to fucking book my flights anymore, and I almost fucked us and didn't get to PAX Unplugged in time for the talk that we are going to give about the contender. So if you are going to PAX Unplugged and you want to see John and I give our talk about how to lose $40,000 on a successful Kickstarter, it's a great talk. We're working on it now. I think it's really fun, and it's packed with great information. Then you need to be at PAX Unplugged on Friday at 3 p.m. The next Saturday, I'll be at PAX Unplugged Saturday as well. The next Saturday, I will be doing my live show in Philadelphia, Shot Tower Coffee, 7 p.m. Free with a suggested donation. Spoiler alert, the suggested donation is going to be $10. And then we'll hang out at the bar. will stay out for as long as Flipadelphia is gonna have us, and then we'll piss off, and then I got to get back to San Francisco. But before that, I'm gonna be at BlizzCon for the first time ever. So there's got to be a few of you out there. That are going to be at BlizzCon as well. See my homie Kick Tripod down there. I saw him at TwitchCon give an awesome talk about how to podcast on Twitch, which I was very excited that there was representation of podcasting on the Twitch platform, and I hope that next year at TwitchCon there's even more of it, because I think that there's a great, a tremendous and growing community. But this ain't about TwitchCon. This is about BlizzCon. BlizzCon is going to start what I hope to be a new tradition. A new tradition. I'm going to do it every con I go to. Dragon Con, South By, TwitchCon, BlizzCon, whenever Scott realizes that he still wants to do Nerdtacular and that comes back. Like, all of it. I'm going to do one thing, and it's going to be called Quiet BarCon. So, a lot of people know on this show, sometimes I get a little overwhelmed. I just need a quiet place. And I feel like there is more of you out there than that will cotton to the idea of having Quiet BarCon. So do me a favor. If you're going to be at BlizzCon, keep an eye on my Twitter. And I will announce as soon as I realize. I'm going to scout out a little bit. Scout it out. You can't just go to the first bar you see. You know? You got to make sure you scout it out. It might be a little bit off the beaten path. Might be a little dingy. Might be a little dark. I'm going to hope there's no music playing. It's going to be very quiet. And we will have a quiet time with quiet people. Having a great time. Enjoying a drink together. So, if you are at BlizzCon, two things. Number one, come see me at the Angry Chicken live recording. Let me see if I can pull up those dates. So I'll be on the Angry Chicken, which is going to be awesome. Always a great time to hang out with the Angry Chicken folk. And more specifically, we're doing Quiet BarCon. So keep an eye on that, and we will get information. I should probably do this. All right, so the Angry Chicken will be at the Hilton. More details. Follow me on Twitter at Justin R. Young is where you can get all the details on where I will be at BlizzCon. Definitely going to be screwing around. Don't have a lot to do. Really, just trying to soak in everything, much like TwitchCon. So plenty of time of me farting around, but we will do a little Quiet BarCon during BlizzCon. Got a lot to talk about. All right, enough of the plugs and the stuff. Let's get into the issues of the day. I got a lot of theories. This is a very theory-heavy episode of the Jury Podcast. I got these theories in my head, man. Everywhere I look, I just keep saying Pepe Silva, Pepe Silva. Jay Phil in the Twitch chat says, Don't bring my trumpet to Quiet BarCon. You can bring it, but if you lift that son of a bitch to your lips, I'm going to slap it right out of your hands. All right, I'm going to ask y'all in the chat which one you want to hear first. I got two theories. Number one, first theory. Do you want to hear about how the shattering of the monoculture has exposed Harvey Weinstein? Or do you want to hear about how Super Mario Odyssey is really a story about the recovery from heroin? So either, do you want to hear about how Super Mario Odyssey is really a metaphor for Mario's recovery from heroin? Or do you want to hear about how the monoculture has exposed Harvey Weinstein? The shattering of the monoculture. Because they're both good. I feel like they're both good. I'm in a good theory space right now. We're seeing some Marios. We're going to start with Mario, okay? So for those of you who don't know, there's a new Mario game out. It's called Super Mario Odyssey. If you don't play the game, don't worry. I'm going to explain to you basically everything you need to know about what's happening. Super Mario Odyssey begins with Mario on an airship. We join our story and media res with Mario on an airship while Bowser seems like he is kidnapping Princess Peach and he is going to marry her. All right? Mario fights Bowser and loses when Bowser throws a hat at him. It knocks him off the airship and he seemingly dies. Okay? Initially, you might think that this is a game in which Mario has died and he has to emerge himself from the underworld like some sort of Greek myth to then reclaim and through epic battle and combat win the hand of his fair lady love. And that would be a valid theory, except when you look closer. When you look closer, what you might realize is that this very simple structure of Mario, Bowser, and Peach is supposed to seem familiar because it seems familiar to Mario. But what if Mario is an unreliable narrator? What if the vision that we see of Bowser clutching Peach and kidnapping her is not really what it looks like? What if Mario is at his worst and not his most heroic? Would you find it heroic if somebody burst in to a wedding and started screaming and trying to fight the groom because it is his ex-lover that is on the dais about to be wedded forever? No. You would probably say that person is on drugs. That's where the seed was planted. We next find Mario face down in a gray world surrounded by friendly ghosts. Again, maybe it's some sort of underworld scenario. But posit this theory, dear listeners of Jury. What if it is not the underworld? What if it is indeed rock bottom? And the story that we now have unfolding in front of us, as Mario goes from airship to airship, or from finding a salvaged airship and flying from strange land to strange land, is really him recovering from something that he didn't know was a problem. What if this is him realizing that the life he has lived, a life that is revisited through various different 2D scenarios, can only be redeemed as he understands the plight of those for which he has stepped on his entire life. And so that is what he does. In this game, you throw your hat and you take the actions of your enemies, Goombas, Koopas, the Bullet Bills. Now you might say, Justin, you're very, this is surely a colorful theory, but obviously this game for children is not here to explain the terrors and horrors and yet heroic moral arc of addiction. Well, then how do you explain, my friends? The second world you go to is a desert world. However, that desert world is frozen. In a place that should be hot, Mario is literally shivering. Mario no longer has the safety blanket of whatever he had before, the evils of his old life. He might, in some crude definition, be in withdrawals. Mario has the shakes. And it is through your heroic power moon gathering journey, through your understanding of the greater world, through the revisiting of all of your old ills, that you get to not only save the princess, you save yourself. 12 Steps to Mario. That indeed is Mario's Odyssey. So there we go. That's my theory. I feel like I needed a sounder. I needed some kind of... I should have put that at the end. Why did I do that big epic monologue and then not put it at the end? That doesn't make any sense. I should have just like that is Mario's true odyssey. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much. This has been a 15-minute show. I can't, you know, how do I end? How do I end? Okay, all right, let's just move on. Here's my other theory. I have two theories. Here's my second theory. I've been thinking about all this Me Too stuff, right? All this sexual assault and Harvey Weinstein. And it got me thinking, why now? Why are these articles coming out? Why is there not the same kind of pushback? Why is the fire rising so fast that these people that almost assuredly have horrifying track records of sexual assault and worse? Why now? Why 2017? What's changed? The saddest part of all this story, beyond the systemic element of it, for which all these women have Me Too stories, is that in the industry examples, and this is industry-wide, same just movies, happened to Mark Halperin with NBC News, you know, in the wrestling media community, happened to Adam Blampier of formerly What Culture Wrestling, about to start a new company, and all of a sudden he gets downed by a lot of this. And rightfully so. But what happened? And more specifically, not necessarily why now, but why not then? Why not in 1999? Why not in 2005? Why not in 2010? And to me, when you really think about what has changed between then and now, there is only one thing. The internet. The internet shattered the monoculture. There is no more big stage. Network television is gone. Cable television has been reduced to effectively high-performing YouTube channels. Radio is gone. Nobody watches movies unless they have a really good idea what's going to happen in it, which is why all we get is sequels and remakes. So, on one hand, we have always looked at this, the shattering of the monoculture, as, you know, possibly a bad thing. Will we ever have a Beatles or a Michael Jackson again? Something that we can all toe-tap to, an art that binds us instead of joining up in little tribes where everybody thinks that everybody is a gigantic celebrity, and in general the stakes are a lot smaller because the bigger pie is so much more limited. Or we've looked at it, like I do, as fantastic, because now I don't have to, like, wish that I get on a larger platform. I can continue to look at my platform and say, you want to know what? They're coming down, and we might meet in the middle. But I never thought of it like this. What about the people that guarded those gates? What happens when you're royalty and all of a sudden the power of your kingdom declines? Nobody's challenging that you are the head of it. People are challenging whether or not they give a shit. So for tyrants like Harvey Weinstein, who lorded over his little corner of Hollywood and made sure that women did not tolerate his horrifyingly illegal behavior, were blacklisted and their careers were damaged, sometimes irreparably. What happens when he doesn't have that power anymore? What happens when nobody's afraid anymore? This happens. It is the shattering of the monoculture. For this reason, you have heard me say it on this podcast. You have heard me say it on the politics podcast. And I will say it one more time for any and everybody who wants to listen. There is no power in this world except projected future power. Does not matter how powerful you are now. It does not matter how powerful you were then. What matters is how powerful you will be tomorrow. It's why confident people can get more out of life than people without confidence. Because if you can convince those around you that they are screwing up because you will have future power, well, that's currency in and of itself. So it's not that Harvey Weinstein is not powerful now, but he is certainly less powerful than he was back in 1999. So if that's happened over the past whatever years, 18 years, then what happens 18 years from now? What happens 10 years from now? What happens 5 years from now? Harvey Weinstein doesn't control Netflix. Harvey Weinstein doesn't control YouTube. Harvey Weinstein doesn't control Hulu or Amazon. You can go have a career if Harvey Weinstein blacklists you. And if you want to know why all these are coming out, it's because not only are the people that are speaking not afraid of him, but here's something that might get dropped on you. It's because the magazines and newspapers who are running this story aren't afraid of burning him as a source, or here's something that doesn't get talked about a lot, burning him as an advertiser. Because if you're the New Yorker, if you're the New York Times, if you're Variety, if you're the Hollywood Reporter, guess who buys ads come Oscar season? Harvey fucking Weinstein. That's who. That's why you don't call him a rapist. That's why you don't run the words, no matter how often it is corroborated, of his horrifyingly boorish behavior. Because he won't buy ads otherwise. Now, your ad sales are in the shitter anyway. So, anyway, see you later to Harvey. That's it. But it wouldn't have happened without the internet. It wouldn't have happened without the idea that his future power has diminished. Now, here's the other thing to think about. As the fire rises on all this, and it's burning hotter than ever right now. Kevin Spacey went from Kevin Spacey to now he's just literally like he's one of those burnt like a cartoon, like he's just like a charred piece of beef jerky now. That's why they had to cancel shooting on House of Cards. They thought they were going to be like Kevin Spacey, all right, just shoot this last season of House of Cards. And then we'll be done. And then Kevin Spacey showed up to set, and he wasn't, Kevin Spacey. He was just a charred piece of beef jerky that came onto set being dangled comically by a fishing line. He was done for. An old ass allegation about him comes out. He responds to it horrifyingly. If you're not familiar with this story, let's just go ahead and read Kevin Spacey's apology. What do you say? Kevin Spacey apology. Let's do that. Here we go. Actor Anthony Rapp has accused Kevin Spacey of making sexual advances on him when Rapp was 14, BuzzFeed reported Sunday. In an interview with BuzzFeed, Rapp said Spacey picked him up, put him on his bed, and was trying to get with me sexually in 1986. Spacey was 26 at the time. In response to the allegations, Spacey tweeted that he was beyond horrified to hear Rapp's story. Spacey tweeted, "I honestly do not remember the encounter." Here, I'm going to read his little thing here. I have a lot of respect and admiration for Anthony Rapp as an actor. I'm beyond horrified to hear his story. I honestly do not remember the encounter. It would have been over 30 years ago. But if I did behave then, as he describes, I owe him the sincerest apology for what would have been a deeply inappropriate, drunken behavior. And I'm sorry for the feelings he describes having carried with him all these years. This story has encouraged me to address other things in my life. I know that there are stories out there about me, and some have been fueled by the fact that I have been so protective of my privacy. As those closest to me know, in my life, I've had relationships with both men and women. I have loved and had romantic encounters with men throughout my life, and I choose now to live as a gay man. I want to deal with this honestly and openly, and that starts with examining my own behavior. Kevin Spacey. I believe it was Billy Eichner, the guy who does Billy on the Street, who tweeted, "Kevin, you have discovered something that many thought was impossible. A bad time to come out of the closet." Woo! That ain't good. Uh-uh. No. 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 You do not do that. You can't just write this off as like, "And by the way, I'm gay." I know. There's a lot of talk about this gay rape allegation, but I assure you, I'm gay. These are not the gays you're looking for. Yeah. About that, Kevin. Not going to happen, man. And so all of a sudden, everybody pours out. And also, it's like a lot of these people that are getting lit on fire now is these are people that have a ton of rumors about him. I mean, Rosie O'Donnell came out and said that, look, everybody has a Kevin Spacey story. There were like waiters and waitresses that are like, yeah, no, he was bad. He was bad. Sidon says, how else is he supposed to address the accusation? That's a good point. Number one, I will say this. I did not know that he wasn't out. I assumed he was out. I always just thought of Kevin Spacey as a gay actor. Like, that was just who I was unaware. I was unaware that there was this ambiguity about it because it's been, you know, joked about and reported about him being a gay guy. I mean, you know, that's fine. I just always assumed. But how is he supposed to address that accusation? Number one, you know, there is always the option to not say anything or to say, I am addressing the problems in my life and I am, you know, I'm not gonna, you know, or I'm going to look into them. I fucked up. I mean, here's the biggest thing for an apology is you have to apologize. So there's the first one. So if he's like, I don't remember, but if I did it, I'm really sorry. I mean, that's what I would think. But then again, I think his problems go further than just this one accusation. Because I get the sense, by the way people are reporting this, that there's a lot more out there. So, he's over. He's done. What's interesting about Spacey, though, is that he is currently relevant. So, how high do these flames go? And, to bring it back to the initial point, do the flames rise high enough so that those who do have future power. The young, on the make, power brokers. The people at Netflix, the people at Hulu, the people at Amazon. Do they get this as well? Does it touch them too? My guess is it does more than it used to because more people are in this game than before. All right. Let's, my God. You know, sometimes I just put stuff in this doc throughout the week, and I just don't realize that I am, that I'm like overloading on heavy issues. So I've already ruined Super fucking Mario with heroin addiction. All right, I've already turned It's-a Me into Train Spotting. That's a great one, Gerbs. And then you went right to Harvey Weinstein and sexual assault. Okay, good. That's fine. Listen, let's lighten up the mood here, right? And now here comes the plate spinners. Let's squirt a little seltzer down my pants to get everybody having a good time. What's my kicker? What's my what's the new thing that we can go into the fun game? Guess what, guys? I got a game. I have a game that we can all play. All right, here's the game. It's called Is This Story About 9/11. Fuck me. Why did I think this was a good idea? Why on earth did I think this was a good idea? This is the stupidest idea. This is so dumb. All right. All right, so I'm going to stop this story halfway, and then everyone's going to vote either yes or no, whether or not you think that the story is about 9/11, okay? Here we go. Oh, fuck. I do the worst show on the internet. By the way, patreon.com/JURY is where you can support this programming. All right, here we go. Is this story about 9/11? We begin with this sentence. As for creepy sex, here's a quick story. Way back in my single days, I was dating a girl who was just sex personified. I'd been in a long-term relationship that was very stable and not very adventurous, but this girl was, to my limited view, experienced beyond anything I imagined. Anyway, one night we're at a party in Windows on the World, the restaurant on top of the old World Trade Center. One thing leads to another, and we ended up having sex in the bathroom. When we were done, she told me that a guy was watching us the whole time through the door. I had no idea and was creeped out by the experience. She was the opposite and was totally turned on by the idea. She then told me that she wanted to try other situations where people could see what we were doing. All right. I now ask the chat room, the live chat room, whether or not you believe that this is a story about 9/11. Thank you. if you've had time, we will continue to read the rest of the story. I wasn't all that into the idea, and aside from a couple of times in not-so-well-hidden parked cars, nothing more happened. To me, it's close to inviting somebody into the mix, which I'm not into at all. I don't understand the idea of others wanting to watch, and I really don't understand the compulsion dudes have to show women their junk. Most of the women I know are not turned on by that. In fact, they are right creeped out. I know I'm probably in the minority here, but men should keep their stuff to themselves. If you said it wasn't about 9/11, you win! That's no, not about 9/11. Totally ancillary to the story that they were watched by somebody in the bathroom while having sex at Windows on the World in the old World Trade Center. Totally ancillary to the story. Totally different. All right, there we go. That's my new game. Is it about 9/11? If you want to send your Is It About 9/11 stories to the show, go ahead and do it at justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. Oh, my God. This is such a heavy show. Such a heavy show. I don't know. I mean, I have no idea. Man, I'm excited for BlizzCon though. I am. I want to make this. I mean, I gotta. Somebody throw me a lifeline. Somebody, please tell me. Tell me something. Tell me literally something that I can talk about. That's not. I'm asking. I'm struggling. I'm floundering right now into the chat so I can just get any topic that I can riff on for 5 seconds before. Because by the way, all the emails are about creepy stuff because it is Halloween. By the way, it's Halloween. Oh my God, Beef Viper. What about Building 7? Shut up. We're not talking about Building 7. Thank God. Alan on 666 says, best candy to get on Halloween. All right, here's how I rank my Halloween candy. Number one, everybody always wants the full Snickers, right? Everybody wants full-size candy bars. Fuck that. I was never into full-size candy bars. I like a fun-size candy bar because when you're hammering down all that candy, you want this is all a moose bouche, baby. Like I want a buffet. I want a smorgasbord. I want the sampler platter. I don't need a full order of any of this stuff. So I'm just gonna tell you right now, the number one best Halloween candy of all time, Reese's peanut butter cups. Come at me. Reese's peanut butter cups get you everything that you want. It's big enough that it seems decadent, yet simple enough where you know exactly what flavors you're gonna get it. Okay, it comes in two of them because at that point, once you have two, you're never really in the mood for three. It is almost perfect. You eat one of those fun size Snickers, you eat one of those fun size Three Musketeers, all of a sudden you kind of want another one. You eat two Reese's peanut butter cups and you are good to go. So I guess in that case, yes, you should be passing out full two sets of the Reese's peanut butter cups. Other than that, fuck a Three Musketeers. I'm here for Snickers. I'm here for both Almond Joys and Mounds. Almond Joys and Mounds, I'm here for. All right? And underrepresented in general, fresh cookies. Okay? This is another one. All right? You just go ahead and make some, just pop some fucking, keep that Toll House, keep them Toll House cookies running. The entire time handing out some fresh ass cookies, that is what's up. Because here's the other thing about a fresh ass cookie. You're going to eat that going from house to house. That is an in the process treat. You're not throwing a full cookie in your bag, right? It's not packaged up. Now, I don't know where that ranks when it comes to like parents. Like, parents might want only wrapped candy for their kids. But if you were, like it's a close neighborhood, small neighborhood, everybody knows each other, fresh cookies. You know, I think it's going to be just as much. In fact, it might be cheaper than getting candy for the kids. I'm here for Almond Joy and Mounds, though. I love it. Sometimes I feel like a nut. Sometimes I don't. And in general, I would probably, if I were gun to my head, Nazis have my family. They put a gun to my head and they say, listen, you son of a bitch, we're going to kill your whole family unless you pick between Almond Joy and Mounds. You want to know what? I'm going to have to go with Almond Joy. I like a nut. I like a nut in that coconut. I like that. I'm going to go Almond Joy. Almond Joy over Mounds. We're seeing Payday. Not in love with Payday, but I don't hate it either. Payday, underrated candy. You want to know what? It's a good change-up. Because when you had that bag, and you're hammering through that bag, and it's just chocolate, 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 sweet tart, sweet tart, sweet tart, you need a change-up. Payday's there for you. When it's like fastball, 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 throw the off-speed. Payday, baby. That's what's up. Sour candy, too. Warheads? All day, Warheads. But here's the problem about Warheads, is that they were never really a treat because Warheads in my school were basically like cigarettes in prison. People sold Warheads they were their own currency. It was like cell phone minutes in Africa. Like, it was an off-market currency to sell Warheads to each other. So that was like, you know, on Halloween, if you're getting Warheads, sure, they're great. You can maybe flip them if you're industrious when you get back to school. But at that point, the market's kind of flooded. But, yeah, you have them a lot. That's like a stockbroker going out for some sort of a party and everybody's giving out stock tips. It's like, I know. I like them. I make my living doing it. But I don't necessarily need to have more of them when I'm on my off time. I'm shocked. If I'm curious about this, were Warheads also currency in your school's experience? I wonder how that happened. There was always the kid that sold candy early. And like half the time, if you were the kid that sold candy at school, you were either a future business leader of America, like you own a franchise of some sort right now, or you dealt drugs. Like that's it. There were only two paths for you. If you were the kid who sold candy, you either are doing great, like you're a lawyer or you own your own business, but like you are seasoned business by the balls, right? By the Babylons. Or you are moving weight. You are dealing drugs because you realized that that was a thing you could do. All right. Let's go ahead and get into the emails. It is justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. Again, justinrobertyoung@gmail.com is where you want to write stuff. We have had the creeptastic, spooky month of October with people writing in creepy stories that they have had in their life, usually sexually. And here we go. This is Christopher writing about creepy. Oh, this started because I told everybody when this Harvey Weinstein stuff happened that what you want to do is ask a woman that you trust and love the creepiest shit that's ever happened to them. Just ask them. Because I'm going to guarantee it's going to be creepier than you think. They're going to have a creepier story. And it's probably one you haven't heard. All right, let's get into this. Christopher writes, I already know this is creepy, so you don't have to read it on the air, but I'm sworn to secrecy, and I haven't been able to tell anybody. Ah, shit. Wait, did he tell me to keep this anonymous? Ah, crap. Did I burn this one? God damn it. Oh. Yeah. God damn it. I burnt this email because I read his name. Oh, all right. Now I have to read it in a future show. And you already know it's about creepy stuff. Fuck. Boiled, baby. I fucked myself. Congratulations. I played myself. Oh, man. It's... yeah, right.
I'll save it. We'll have to bring it up later. Sorry. Sam writes, oh, I'm so pissed. So pissed at myself. I didn't label it.
All right, here. Big Jim. Big Jim writes, last weekend, someone from Michigan said that one of their state's superpower was euchre. I said euchre. A million people corrected me on this. So I apologize that I did not say the word euchre correctly. But Big Jim says, sorry, Mishies. This is actually a game that was popularized by the Pennsylvania Dutch, although it's pretty common in Ohio, too. And he asked if I should ask my wife, who's from Columbus or from north of Columbus, whether she's ever played euchre. What I will say is that a Michigan left is a pretty crazy thing, specifically when you're in Toledo on the border with Michigan, and people are doing it all over the place. Big Jim goes on, with the hashtag Me Too, I applaud you asking the question of how we as males are responding to this. I want to say the I'm sorry, but I didn't do. I want to say I'm thank you for sharing your story, but that sounds kind of weird. So how do you congratulate somebody on a Me Too post? He doesn't know the answer, and neither do I. As for carp fishing, so this was a story that I read about. It's a magazine feature about how this chick was catfished by this asshole and so then tracked down the guy whose pictures he was using, who was like this Italian model, contacted the Italian model, and now they're dating. So she found love with this guy. But she was also describing herself as middle class, but she has a family house in France, and she would go on dates. They mention these dates without there being any qualifier that, oh, they went midnight carp fishing. Because that's a regular-ass, middle-class thing to do on a date. Midnight carp fishing. Big Jim goes on. So I've never taken my wife fishing. In fact, she confessed to me that she's never even gone fishing. But as someone who's done a little fishing as a boy, let me ask a simple question. Is this romantic? And if so, why? I mean, I get that you're using the fishing as an excuse to spend time with somebody else and talk. But maybe it's just that the kind of people that I, when I was younger, dated. And yes, that's an extremely limited scope. Is that something that people actually want to do together romantically? In the U.S., fishing can have a very redneck stereotype, so will we see a new angle to the angler? I don't know. Let me know. All right, let me ask this question. Do we got any farmers-only motherfuckers listening to this show? I need to hear from the farmers-only people. I want to hear from the Christian Mingle people. I want to hear from some red state daters. Red state daters. Holler at your boy, JustinRobertYoung@gmail.com. Put jury in the subject line. Is fishing an acceptable date? Is that one of those city folks just don't get it kind of thing that everybody else is turning up their nose when really, if you are a young guy or girl looking for a mate, if somebody said, hey, go ahead and get the bait and tackle box, we're going out fishing today, your heart might flutter and swoon. Let me know. Because maybe it is. Maybe it is. Maybe this is more of a middle class thing than I think. Maybe I'm a city mouse. I want to talk to country mouse. Holler at your boy. We're getting some people in here saying, yeah, fishing and hunting. Good dates. Good dates. All right. Davin wrote in with his state superpower. I live in Vancouver. It's about 3 hours drive north of Seattle, so I am decidedly in the Pacific Northwest. So that means a thing that I'm dead certain Jerbs knows all about, musicians and heroin. It's not exactly a new thing in the end of my world, but that doesn't mean it hasn't slowed down. Case in point, this greeted me one day on my way home from East Vancouver, about 100 miles from my house in 2015. So let me go ahead and see what the hell he is talking about. Oh, look at this. There we go. We'll show this. This is just a picture of a power pole with a heroin needle stuck into it. That's what we like to call alley darts. Oh, we like to, you use your used heroin needle to see who can get it closest to the center. Bullseye! I guess it would be harder to shoot darts on heroin. I don't know. All right, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to write into the show, it is justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. Put Jerry in the subject line. I love to read your emails. And if you want to be anonymous, you will be anonymous. Even if I fuck up, I'll save your email and I'll repackage it and I'll make it anonymous. Oh, it was such, this was like the end of our creepy thing, too. And it's really creepy. It's creepy. Ah, gosh darn it. Oh, well. Folks, I'm going to ask you guys to go ahead and rate, review, and subscribe to this show on iTunes. If you're only watching us live on twitch.tv, then go ahead and find us on the podcast. Make sure you never missed an episode. And if you are just listening on the podcast and you happen to have nothing to do at 7 o'clock Eastern Time, 4 o'clock Pacific Time, then come on in and join us, twitch.tv/JustinRYoung. If you got an Amazon Prime subscription, guess what? You can give me money for free if you just head on over to twitch.tv/JustinRYoung. You can subscribe if you connect your Prime account, which is a free process, to a Twitch account. Give me the money. It's a fun time. And then we all laugh. Also, keep these conversations going by heading on over to bit.ly/jurydiscord. That is bit.ly/jurydiscord. That is where you can join our Discord. If you're not familiar with Discord, don't worry. If you're familiar with Slack, it's basically Slack for your off hours. It's where you can do a bunch of fun Slack-like things. But in this thing called Discord, we've got a great jury community. If you like to talk about this show and the stories we talk about on this show, if you want to talk more about the politics show, which I do as well, that is where you can find all of this. Head on over there right now, bit.ly/jurydiscord. All right. I think that about wraps this up. Ladies and gentlemen, if you've got bizarre theories about Super Mario Odyssey, if you've got bizarre theories about Harvey Weinstein, is there more here left to see? If you thought a 9/11 bit was going to bring things into a more humorous light, if you fucked up the creeptastic Halloween bit, well then, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Justin Robert Young, and I am reminding you to please don't.
Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.